Well, a good morning to you. Saturday's here again, and Philip Newbury here with you on another Ask the Expert. And joining me in the studio, we have Elaine Von Cannon, Associate Broker, ABR, SRES Notary, Residential and Commercial Property Manager with Coldwell Banker Traditions. And with her, we have Kevin Onizuk, Branch Manager with JG Wentworth Home Lending here in Williamsburg. Well, Elaine and Kevin, what are we going to talk about this morning?
Well, good morning, all. I had a call this past week from a former client, Doug, and he wanted to know about a construction to perm financing and about modular homes.
Ah, so since it's financing questions, we have Kevin begin. So, Kevin, what can you tell us about construction to perm loans? And as a former builder, does draw enter into this loan? How does that work?
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Kevin.
Great to be here, and that's a great question. Construction financing is a bit different from just a traditional home purchase. Typically, you purchase a home that's already built. You go under contract, get your mortgage, and at closing, everything is done. The seller gets paid, and then you make your first payment a month or so later.
Uh-huh.
With construction financing, it's a little different. Now, some builders will build the home in what they call a spec, where they will build the home, sometimes even customize it for you, and you can just purchase it upon completion. But most of your custom homes and custom builds, the builder likes to have and often requires construction financing. So the biggest difference is the builder gets paid as construction progresses.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, you know, if you're buying a $400,000 home that you're having built, the builder may not have $400,000 to front for the construction, especially if it's a smaller type builder. So, as you mentioned, a draw. So as construction progresses, the builder gets a draw from a construction loan. So up front, you close on a construction loan. You can use funds from that to purchase land. And as the builder completes certain phases of construction, they get paid.
Mm.
So for example, you know, once the framing is up and the roof is up, they may get $50,000.
Uh-huh.
So that replenishes the builder's funds, the builder's capital, so they can continue to build, especially if they have more than one project going. Even if they can afford your particular project, if they have multiple projects going, that would be a lot of money out of pocket for that builder. So that keeps the builder liquid throughout the construction process. And as the buyer or borrower, most construction loans, you're just making interest payments on what's been borrowed so far. So after that first draw of $50,000, you're just making interest payments on that small amount. Then once the house is done, you get your permanent mortgage. It's just like, you know, your regular mortgage that you would have gotten if you just purchased a house straight on, whether it's FHA, VA, conventional, all those different mortgage programs that we've talked about in previous weeks. You get the permanent mortgage once the house is done, and that's when you make your payments for the next 15 years or 30 years out, or however long you have set up on that permanent mortgage program.
Now, Kevin, how do you know they finished it? I could be the builder. Philip's my builder, okay? So he's building me an $800,000 home. So Philip, the builder, says, okay, we're finished with the framing and we're finished with the foundation. I need some more money. Kevin, give me some more money. So how do you know he did it?
Well, if it's Philip, we might just trust him. But with everybody else, we would send out an inspector. So it's typically the appraiser or someone that is certified to do construction inspection. So if the builder says, I'm done the roof and the framing, I'm ready for a draw, then an inspector goes out and confirms it actually is done. The title and closing company will also go to the courthouse, do a quick search on the title to make sure that there's no new liens judgments or mechanics liens. So say the contractor did not pay one of the subcontractors, that subcontractor could have put a lien on the property, so they'll make sure that there's none of that as well.
Right. Well, I'm honest, I would tell you if I was
going
to do that.
That's why.
All right, Elaine, from the real estate side, what is the process with a construction to perm?
Well, first, Kevin, do you want to talk about modulars, since that was one of the things he called about? You want to finish the construction, and then we'll go to modulars. Are they similar?
That's up. We can talk about both, because you can do a construction loan on a modular home. The real difference is more between a modular and a manufactured. So a modular home is built to the same local codes and specifications as a site-built home. So if you are considering building a home or buying a resale, a modular home is going to be built to the same quality requirements and standards by that local city or county here in Virginia. And it's just assembled off-site. It's built off-site and, I guess, assembled on-site. So it's built off-site, brought into pieces, assembled and finalized on the lot. A manufactured home, like we know as a double-wide or even a single-wide, they're built to a national HUD, Department of Housing and Urban Development, housing standard that may not be the same as the construction requirements for each individual locality. So the manufactured homes, the single wides, double wides, even triple wides that are built today are fantastic quality, but in general, they can be more challenging to finance. Not all companies will do them. Many companies won't do them at all. My company certainly will. We will do the double wides and higher up to 10 years old. But a modular home, we treat just the same as any other site-built home. So it's financed the same, it appraises the same. Even when the appraiser goes out and looks at recent comparable sales, they will use site-built recent sales. And there's even construction financing for modular homes. We do that. I do that on a fairly regular basis. If you want to buy a modular home and have it assembled, built, and finance it, and your modular home builder does not just do the permanent financing, we will do construction financing on that as well.
My buyer, Doug, who had called, that started off this this interesting topic today.
Yeah.
He's called me, he says, Elaine, I found this great house. He says, and I know we can get financing because I checked my credit. I said, well, that's all good, but what kind of fabulous home did you find at $60,000? I had my reservations. He said, oh, he says, it's on a permanent, it's a trailer and it's on a permanent foundation. So that's like a house. I said, stop. That is not like a house. I said, I don't care if it's on a permanent foundation. It depends on the year it was built. And they go under and look, and if it's on a metal frame of any kind, even if it's on a permanent foundation, is considered a manufactured home. And there's a tag that has to be on it from HUD. There is a tag. It can be up on the tongue. It can be in a closet. So never remove those tags if you own one of these. Never, never, never. Because if not, they have to go to DMV and do research to get this tag number. So, it depends on the year. Now, Kevin, what's the year for that for manufacturers for financing?
Well, it depends on the mortgage company. There was a significant change in manufactured homes. I think it was something like 1976. Mm-hmm. That number sticks in my head. But, you know, for example, my company, we will go back only 10 years on a manufactured. That's not modular. Manufactured is your double wides. We will not do single wides, but you know, even double wides can be a challenge for a couple of those things. With a double wide or larger, a manufactured home, it does have to be shown to be on a permanent foundation. Generally, for a resale, we'll take the appraiser's say-so. Sometimes we do need to have an engineer go out and certify that it's on a permanent foundation. But as you mentioned, there is the DMV issue. So when you buy a manufactured home, a double wide, it comes with a DMV title. Once you get it on a permanent foundation, you're supposed to surrender that DMV title, because then it's considered real estate, so you should be paying real estate taxes.
Yeah.
And if you don't surrender your DMV title, then you'll still be paying personal property taxes. You'd be double taxed. But as the mortgage company, for most mortgage programs, we have to document the surrender of that title.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't keep that paperwork. And it's not easy to get that from the DMV because the title doesn't exist anymore. So it's hard to get proof that it's been surrendered. Hmm. It's not an easy process. And really, that's the main reason we will only go back 10 years, simply because trying to get that paperwork and documentation beyond that 10-year mark is very, very difficult. Now, some other companies will go a little bit longer. I think the majority of mortgage companies won't touch them at all. So if something is, you're not sure what it is, if it's a double wide, if it's a modular, if it's a site built, if you're not sure, as Elaine mentioned, you know, you need to ask questions. You need to
find a HUD ticket.
Right. Yeah. If it has that HUD plate, then it's definitely a manufactured
home.
Where
would you find that, though? You
in closets.
In the closet.
Or it can be at the tongue, where the tongue was.
Uh-huh.
Up underneath.
I see.
And not necessarily, you might have to go under the house to find it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily there. And as Kevin says, it becomes real estate because now it becomes an improvement when you put it on a foundation. It's like an attachment. It's an improvement to the land. So it is taxed on a different rate.
So it doesn't mean you can't buy it. You just have to understand what you're getting and make sure that financing is available if you're not planning to pay cash.
And have a lot of patience.
Right.
All right, well, Kevin, about financing on these types of homes?
With all of them.
Is it all conventional?
No.
See?
With all of your construction financing, your construction loan is a type of conventional financing, not typically backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which most of us have probably heard of, but most of your construction financing is private money from the bank or mortgage company. We're using our own money because there's not like a mortgage program for that. Then your permanent financing would be whatever you want. It can be a conventional. I'm doing one that's a VA right now. You can do an FHA permanent mortgage. You know, you can do whatever you want for the permanent financing. You're just paying off the construction loan. And you know, you can use any of those mortgage programs to purchase a modular home. The only caveat is with manufactured, it's tougher to do the conventional loans on manufactured. You know, it's mostly the government loans are the more popular, like your FHA, your VA, and USDA, which is U.S. Department of Agriculture. Same people that certify our beef in the grocery store. They have a rural housing mortgage program that's also good for the manufactured homes. Doesn't require any down payment, etc. But even still, you want to make sure you know what you're getting and talk to your mortgage person and talk to your buyer's agent to make sure that you have a plan in place. So with any of them, you can use any of the mortgage programs. It's just fairly tough if it is a double wide, triple wide, etc. to get a traditional conventional mortgage.
Well, thanks, Kevin. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Kevin Onozuk. He's the branch manager with J.G. Wentworth Home Lending. He's in Bullifants Boulevard, and his office number is 220-5491. That's 220-5491. But a better number to catch him at is 757-645-8996. And also in the studio, we have Elaine Von Cannon, Associate Broker, ABR, SRES, Notary, Residential and Commercial Property Manager. And the good number to catch Elaine is 757-288-4685. Now we're going to go back to, so in terms of interest rates, does the three products have different rates? I suppose that'll be a Kevin question.
Yeah, that would probably be a Kevin question again. Yes. Now, your construction financing, as I mentioned, is private money. So that is up to that individual lender what their costs are for that type of program. But as I mentioned, your modular and site-built are considered the same type of property. So you would have very low fixed rates available for that. We actually have rates going back down into the upper threes again. It's becoming a great time to buy again. It's going to be a very busy spring season. Now, if you get into the manufactured home size, looking at, you know, your double wides or higher, or, you know, as we affectionately refer to them when I grew up as trailers, those do have a higher financing cost. So you're going to pay a higher interest rate. You're going to pay higher costs because they are a little riskier. They are not seen as holding their value like a modular or a site-built would. Yeah. And, you know, as I mentioned, nowadays they are built to, you know, with extreme quality and longevity. There's some beautiful homes out there. Yeah. It's just traditionally they haven't held their value because of some of the financing issues and, you know, some of the resale challenges that you can have, you know, that does impact market value. So that adds a little bit of risk from the financing side. So that does add a little bit of cost. So, and it's not unreasonable. So, you know, let's say we were locking in somebody on a 30-year fix today at 3.99%. You know, maybe they're going to be at about 4.5% for a manufactured home. So, you know, it's not unreasonable, but it will be a bit more expensive. And I talk to people about that sometimes, especially if they're buying brand new, considering a modular versus a manufactured. Maybe you want to spend a little bit more on the house versus spending it on the mortgage, giving it to me. You can invest it in the house itself for about the same monthly payment. You could pay that little bit more and get a modular versus getting a double wide. And then, of course, there's always single wides, which are a whole different animal. The traditional mortgage market really doesn't touch them. That is more private financing, non-conforming, we call that.
You go to the dealer for that.
Yep. I see.
Yep. Yeah. You get that through the dealer, or if it's a resale, you might just have to hit Google on that one.
Yeah. And
that one, you're definitely going to have a higher financing cost because, again, that's just a very different type of a home. Again, you can get a beautiful single wide from a local dealer.
Yeah.
I mean, fantastic quality. It's just different than traditional financing.
Gotcha.
And from a real estate point of view, Philip, you have to, don't get excited and go on set. I found 10 acres and I'm going to put a modular on and I'm going to do this or manufactured. Stop. It doesn't work that way. It depends on what the covenants are on the title. Because when they subdivided it and they developed it, in the covenant restrictions, it might not have an HOA, all well and good, because HOAs definitely is not going to allow some of these things. But they might have covenant restrictions on the deed. And with that being said, you have to go to the courthouse, do your homework. Is there a restriction on what size of home? Like, Kevin's going to do a construction of perm on a 1,500 square foot rancher. The covenants will not let anything under 2,000 be built, 2,000 square foot. So you have to do your homework. You have to see what the deeds and restrictions on the deed is, the restrictions are. Because just because it's rural, you still have deeds. And a good example is Charles City County.
Yeah.
I love Charles City County. It's beautiful out there, but those were land grants back from colonial times.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the restrictions still on the books are from the land grants on colonial times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's especially just because you have 10 acres, don't say, I'm going to subdivide this and I'm going to make money. Not
no.
Because you can't put four modulars out there because it might be a restriction.
I guess you can't, no.
Yeah, and Elaine makes a good point, too. In our local area, we have large neighborhoods, your Governor's Land, Ford's Colony, even, you know, mid-sized neighborhoods that have homeowners association, and a lot of them do have restrictions. You may, you know, we talked about the quality of a modular home and, you know, it being, you know, similar, if not, you know, better in some cases than a site-built home, et cetera. But some neighborhoods will not let you put a modular home in there.
Exactly.
So you could buy a beautiful lot in one of the Williamsburg neighborhoods, plan to put a gorgeous modular home on there. I had a customer who was putting a multi-story, 200,000, 400,000. It was a very expensive, gorgeous modular home, but the neighborhood just would not allow it. Modular was against the covenants. They just would not allow him to do it, no matter how beautiful the home was. So it can be a challenge. That is a great point.
Yeah. Well, Kevin and Elaine, do you have anything else you'd like to add to that?
Well, I will tell you, we've had a very challenging first quarter. The first quarter, actually in Williamsburg, they just ran the numbers. We were down 15% from last year.
Really?
Inventory's down as well, but sales were down 15% from last year during first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure the government shutdown did not help.
No, probably
and
didn't.
Also, at tax season, Kevin will tell you, historically, it slows down for about 6 weeks. Right around tax season, because everybody's freaky because they're paying taxes.
Well, everyone holds back.
And now we have a different tax code, so they didn't take as much out of your check, but you're not getting as much back now. And a lot of people some people, especially first-time home buyers, that's going to be my closing cost or my down payment. But Kevin has loans that's 100% that he can help you with. So, I think that our slowdown was due a lot, and the fall was also bad because we had all those storms, and that did not help. So,
well, it has been an extremely wet winter.
Very wet. In fact, we were talking before the show about the ground can only hold so much saturation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're living in a rainforest.
Well, it's just like, you get a storm, and then you may get 3 or 4 or 5 days of dry weather, and your yard is just about dried up, you get another storm.
Yes.
And it's like, this is the cycle. It's been on and on.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
But with the low interest rates, I'm hoping, and Kevin can keep us posted next show, I'm hoping that we're going to see an upswing because the interest rates have not risen like they had predicted, really high. So
that's right.
I'm very positive after tax season it'll help, unless we shut down again for something.
Well, hopefully not. And we all wish we could predict what rates are doing. We'd all be super rich, and there's a lot of people that...
I'd win the lottery.
Yes.
Well, that's what we should do.
There's a lot of people that are paid to make predictions, but they're right about as often as the weatherman on your local news makes weather predictions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really don't know what's going to happen.
No, you don't.
As Elaine mentioned, I just saw an article that this past March, was one of the slowest in quite a while in the real estate world.
And home starts, especially, too. Building starts.
Right. So usually March is the big kickoff of each buying season.
Yep.
But, you know, Easter's late. That could have something to do with it. People just may not have been in the spring mindset quite yet. But we are really excited because, you know, as we chatted, rates have dropped. Rates are down low. You can get in the threes again if you're well qualified, doing good down payments, or qualify for one of the government programs. Say you're a veteran, want to purchase on VA. There's a lot of really great opportunities to buy. You can purchase with little or no money out of pocket. That's certainly helpful and exciting. There are programs with grant funds If you're a first-time home buyer, especially, there's some exciting things out there to help cover your down payment. Or even if you're using a no down payment mortgage like the VA for a veteran, or USDA, which we mentioned, the Rural Housing Mortgage Program.
Does the VHDA still have the 100%?
Yes. Yep. Yep. And that's, you know, we've got grant funds that can go towards closing costs. They can go towards the down payment. They can make home buying really affordable. So it is a great time to buy. There is great inventory out there. If you have the right buyer's agent looking for you, they can keep an eye and see when something comes up, such as Elaine Von Cannon. And when you have the great mortgage person, such as Kevin Onizuk, working for you to make the home purchase from the financing side extremely, if not ridiculously affordable, then it can be a very positive experience. So folks should jump in now. Rates are low again.
I should think this would be a good time to jump in.
And I'm going to make a prediction. It is going to pick up because my resident groundhog is back.
Uh-huh.
And my resident raccoon is back. And my 20 or so, I'm not sure how their winter went, but we have a large population of bunnies at my house.
Well,
I call it Bunnyville.
Well,
so
that is
all the local, all my local friends are back. So I'm predicting that's
the,
a good sign
all
of spring.
The ducks are in line.
Yes.
Yeah.
The stars have aligned here.
Well, a very informative show, as always, but we're just about out of time. I want to thank our guests today, and here's the numbers that you can contact them at. Elaine at 757-288-4685. Kevin at 757-645-8996. This has been Philip Newbury for Ask the Expert. Now stay tuned for more great music on FM 93.5 The Berg and WMBG AM 740. Have a great weekend. Cheers.